Joshua chapter number 6. Joshua chapter number 6. It's good to see the young people here. Amen. I'm thankful for you that bring them and those that go pick up your grandchildren to make sure they're here for the services at Sharon Baptist Church. I thank you for that, and I know the Lord would honor you for what you're doing to teach those young children the importance of regular and purposeful church attendance. In 1911, two groups of explorers tried to reach the South Pole. Each group faced numerous obstacles to their path. Each group developed different strategies to overcome those obstacles. There was a Norwegian by the name of Roald Amundsen, and he led the first group. He originally planned to go to the North Pole, but he discovered that Robert Peary had already beaten him there. So to get to the South Pole, we find that Amundsen made a careful study of the Eskimos and other Arctic travelers. He determined that the dog sled was the best transportation available to go to the South Pole. He determined that his team should travel about 15 to 20 miles a day, but no more than 6 hours in every day. And that would leave them enough time to get adequate rest for this arduous journey they were going to have to make. He also located and stocked numerous supply depots along the route. They only had to carry a small amount of supplies on their back to keep them from getting physically wore out. He built his team from expert cross-country skiers and supplied them with the very best gear that was available in that year. On the contrary, British Naval Officer Robert Falcon Scott led the second team. Instead of using dog sleds, he opted to use motorized sleds and ponies. The sleds only worked for the first 5 days. The ponies were really useless in the frigid temperatures and had to be put down. His crew ended up pulling the 200-pound sledges all by themselves. The clothing was poorly designed and everyone developed frostbite. They became snowblind because of the inadequate goggles that they had. They constantly ran low on food and water because the supply depots were very meagerly stocked and too far apart and poorly marked, and they were hard to find in that country. Scott even decided to take along a fifth man after he had only prepared enough supplies for a four-man team. Well, Scott's team did eventually arrive at the South Pole on January the 17th, 1912, and there they found flying a Norwegian flag flapping in the wind. The other well-led team had beaten them by more than 30 days to the South Pole. But yet the story gets even worse. Not only did Scott's team not make it to the South Pole first, but the entire team never returned and never made it home. Because of his poor planning, no doubt he failed miserably. He didn't navigate the obstacles that were put before him. You know, we all have different obstacles that are set before us. And maybe it's your health this morning. Maybe you have some physical suffering going on in your life. It could be inadequate finances in your life. It could be a family conflict. And maybe even might be some long ingrained habit or a life-dominating pattern in your life that must be broken. It might be difficulty at the workplace or difficulty at school. It might be a person that you simply just cannot avoid but desire to avoid on a regular basis. Whatever your personal situation is, whether you're trying to cross the Antarctic or you're trying to reach the South Pole or you're trying to just get through one day or 1 week or 1 month, all of us have obstacles in front of us. The question isn't this, do we have obstacles? Because all of us do have obstacles. The question is, how do we deal with those obstacles? How can we navigate around successfully those obstacles that have been placed in front of us? And to answer these questions, we're going to turn to God's answer book, the Bible, and we'll find an example of an insurmountable problem found here in Joshua chapter number 6. So let's stand as we give respect to the reading of God's word. And for the sake of time this morning, we'll read Joshua chapter 6, verses 15 through verse number 20. And the Bible says in Joshua 6, beginning of verse 15 through 20, "And it came to pass on the seventh day that they arose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. And only on that day they can pass the city seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time when the priests blew with their trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest you make yourself accursed when you take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So verse 20 says, so the people shouted when the priests blew with their trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, Father, as we begin to think on this thought of navigating our new year, Father, as we turn to this passage, Father, we'll think about this thought of navigating the obstacles that have been placed in our life. And Father, we know that if we're going to have a successful year of our Lord 20 and 21, Father, it only will be as we rely on you to navigate those obstacles. So Father, I pray now that you would bless this time of the preaching of your word. Father, we pray for those that are gathered here collectively this morning at Sharon Baptist Church. We pray for those that are listening by the way of live stream even now, and those who will listen in the days and weeks and months to come. Oh, Father, we ask that if there be someone who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that this might be the morning when the Holy Spirit of God convicts their heart of their sinfulness, and they repent of that sin and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And then, Father, for your church, your people that have claimed the name of Christ, who have been saved and born again, I pray, Father, that they'll look at these obstacles in their life and understand that they can be overcomers, that you have desired for us to be overcomers. And, Father, may we put some practices into our life that would help us to live a victorious Christian life. So, Father, we pray now and ask these things according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you know anything about the Old Testament, you know that the people of Israel were slaves to the nation of Egypt. And God raised up Moses to provide their freedom. And he traveled through the wilderness to Canaan, the promised land, the country that God had promised to their forefathers time and time again. But instead of trusting God to help them eliminate their enemies in fear, they rebelled against God himself. And because of their disobedience, God sent them back to wander in the wilderness for another 40 years. Finally, a new generation arose with a new leader, Joshua. And Joshua brought them back, following God's leading, back to the promised land. And a very outstanding miracle, God parted the Jordan River to allow the nation of Israel to cross during the flood season. They camped on the west side in a place called Gilgal. From there, they could probably faintly just see the walls of an impressive fortress or of a city that was called Jericho. The city of Jericho probably must have been a pretty imposing sight. Its name literally means place of fragrance. And it was centered in a huge grove of palm trees and an oasis on the desert plain. Archaeologists today believe it covered about 8.5 acres, and its walls were so thick and its walls were so heavy, literally, that houses were built upon those walls. Jericho was the key to the conquest of the land of Canaan. If the Israelites could just defeat Jericho, they could push west and divide Canaan from the south, and then push northward and drive their enemies out of the mountainous regions. Did you know that God is immutable? God is unchanging. The same God who enabled the Israelites to overcome this insurmountable object of Jericho is at work in my life and is at work in your life this very morning. And if we're going to overcome these obstacles that are in our life, guess what we're going to have to do? Number one, We're going to have to believe in God's plan. Believe in God's plan. That's found in verses 1 through verse number 5. But before we look at those verses, I want you to notice this. Notice that Joshua meets the commander. Turn back in your Bible to chapter 5, verses 13 through verse number 15. Joshua 5, verses 13 through 15. Here we find and we meet Joshua. Joshua's name literally means Jehovah saves, and it's the New Testament equivalent of the name of Jesus. Joshua was succeeded Moses as the nation of Israel's leader. His first victory actually came when the nation crossed over the River Jordan in chapter number 4. That was his first major victory. But now look at verse number 13. Shortly after crossing the Jordan, Joshua lifted up his eyes, and notice what the Bible said. He lifted up his eyes and looked. So in other words, as Joshua was looking at Jericho, something else came into his view. Well, what came into his view? Well, we see in verse 15, in the end part of that verse, the Bible said, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua, no doubt, if I would have been Joshua, no doubt Joshua probably put his hand on his sword. If he saw another man that had his sword drawn, no doubt he probably reached for his own sword. And then he asked this question, art thou for us or for our adversaries? The man then answered Joshua in verse 14 and says, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. You see, this wasn't an ordinary soldier. This was not an ordinary angel. To this earthly general came the commander of the armies of heaven, or as the Bible says, the captain of the host of the Lord. This man was none other than God himself pulling rank on Joshua. Joshua was a brilliant statistician. He was a brilliant military commander, but guess what? He was not the commander-in-chief. And I submit to you this day that Jesus Christ, the commander-in-chief, himself showed up to speak with Joshua. We sometimes call this a theophany. A theophany in theology it refers to an Old Testament appearance of God in visible form. It could also be referred to as a Christophany, which by definition is an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. And by the way, most theophanies in the Old Testament appearances of God are Christophanies, where Jesus Christ himself showed up. And this is supported by the person who appeared to him as a man in Joshua chapter 6 and verse number 2. And here we find that this man is referred to as none other than Jehovah himself. And to further help us to understand who this man that he met was, notice in chapter 5 in verse 14. Notice what Joshua did upon seeing this man with his sword drawn. The Bible says, and Joshua fell on his face and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? So Joshua believed that this was God, and he worshiped him. He then asked this pre-incarnate Christ, what do you have to say to me? So as I began to think about that, I thought about Joshua's total submission to Jesus Christ. It shows that Joshua understands and Joshua knows who's in charge of this battle that's about ready to take place. And I thought about that as well. Because he came into submission to the commander, it also is a virtual guarantee of a victory for Joshua and the nation of Israel. Just think about it for just a moment. When we follow the commander of the army of the Lord, how can we lose? Let me help you. There is no losing when we follow the commander of the army of the Lord. Well, we see that, first of all, Joshua meets the commander. But then notice the siege mentality of Jericho in chapter 6 and verse number 1. The Bible says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. This verse, this one little verse, gives us a glimpse inside the walls of Jericho. The Bible says the city was straitly shut up. None went out and none went in. Literally, it's rendered this way, shutting and closing shut up. So we say that it was shut up, and what wasn't shut up was in the process of being closed up. We might even say, we could say this, that Jericho was on full alert. Kind of reminds me of our nation's capital today. It's on full alert through this inauguration next week. So Jericho was on full alert. Nobody went in and nobody went out. One historical account says this, that it was shut with iron gates, strengthened with bars of brass. It really does give us an idea of the siege mentality of Jericho. In addition to that, in chapter 2, in verses 9 through 11, we have the testimony of a lady by the name of Rahab, who was a citizen of Jericho. Notice her words. And she said unto the men, the spies that came in spy out Jericho, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you. And when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom were utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, notice what happened. Our hearts didn't melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Well, we see that Joshua meets the commander. We see the siege mentality of Jericho. But then notice in chapter 6 and verses 2 through 5, notice God reveals his plan. And with all the previous information that we have had on the background, let's look at Joshua's meeting with the commander of the army of the Lord. The key to the whole verse and the whole passage is found here in verse number 2. Notice what it says. The Lord says, see. Or to put it another way, the Lord said, Joshua, take another look. Notice what he said, I have given unto thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. You see, once we understand that God has already won the victory, we can tackle all of our obstacles by faith. You see, God told Joshua to take the men of war and the seven priests. The priests were to bear the ark of the seven trumpets of ram's horn, and they were to compass the city once a day, for 6 days. But on the seventh day, they were to march around the city 7 times. Then according to verse 4, and the priests shall blow with a trumpet according to verse number 4. But then in verse 5 it says, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when he hear the sound of the trumpet, and all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. So we see Joshua meets the commander. We see the siege mentality of Jericho. We see, thirdly, that God begins to reveal his plan. But notice 4:3, victory comes by believing God's plan. Just imagine for a moment, Joshua here is devising the battle plans against Jericho from a general's viewpoint. He would say, well, I think, men, we need a couple ladders. Those walls are really high. We've got to scale the walls, so we need some ladders. We're going to need a couple of battering rams to help break down the doors. Not to mention all the supplies that it's going to take to sustain over a million man army, including the women and children who were not at the battle. And no telling how long the battle would take and the siege was going to take place. But understand this, that God had a different plan. How many say, glory to God, I'm glad that God oftentimes has a different plan. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God oftentimes has a different plan than what I see. Think about the faith that it must have taken for Joshua to agree to march around the city with only trumpets and shouts. And I said, boy, yeah, I can imagine coming to the church and saying, listen, we need to go out and we're going to march and have trumpets. I can imagine what how much faith I would have to relay to you that God said this is what he would have us to do. But then I thought about not only the faith of Joshua, what about the faith of the nation of Israel? They're thinking, you're a crazy lunatic. I knew you were too young to be the leader of this great nation. What in the world are you talking about? We find that although some may have grumbled and some may have backbited and some may have murmured, we find that they got behind Joshua and Joshua's faith, and they did what God had them to do. You see, if we're going to defeat our obstacles in our life, if we're going to defeat our enemy, guess what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to see God's plan and not our plan. You say, well, what is God's plan? Number one, trust in his power, not in your power. I think that's what God was telling the nation of Israel. Listen, this thing is not about you. It's about me. You're going to have to trust my power, not in your power. And then number two, you're going to have to believe his word, not in your idea. No doubt Joshua had an idea of how that he could conquer this, understanding that he was relying on the Lord's power, as we already had mentioned, with battle rams and battle works and ladders to get across the wall. But listen, God's plan is to believe his word and not our own ideas. And then lastly, we are to rely on his strength, not your human weakness. You see, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 4 says this, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You see, Joshua understood. The nation of Israel understood. But you and I sometimes have a hard time understanding that we're going to trust in his power and not our power. We're going to believe his word and not our idea. We're going to rely on his strength and not on our human weaknesses. Because even though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. We believe that God is going to be take care of us. Well, let me ask you this question this morning. Does the enemy have a stronghold in your life? Is there a habit, a person, or a sin in your life that stands between you and what God wants you to be? Think about it for just a moment. You see, you don't want to be hindered when we're trying to overcome the obstacles that are placed in front of us. And maybe a habit, a person, or a sin stands between you and what God wants you to be. God wants you to overcome that stronghold in your life today. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, we find Paul writing this, now thanks be unto God, which is always causes us to triumph in Christ. Somebody say, glory, hallelujah. This verse doesn't say, now thanks be to God, who sometimes causes us to triumph in Christ. The Bible says, who always causes us to triumph in Christ. We also could turn to Romans 8, and verse 33 through verse 37 to reinforce this thought. Well, if we're going to navigate life's obstacles, we're going to have to, number one, believe in God's plan. But then notice, secondly, we'll have to wait for God's timing in verses 6 through verse number 21. We'll have to wait for God's timing. Notice the siege of Jericho in day 1 through day 6 in verses 6 through 14. The first thing that Joshua did after receiving the instructions from the Lord was to call a meeting of the priests. And he got the priests together and he gave them the marching order. Notice that order. First, the armed men would go, followed by the seven priests with seven trumpets of ram's horns, followed by the Ark of the Covenant, and finally the rearward or the rear guard. Perhaps it really means the unarmed men that were just coming along to give reinforcements. But notice this, Joshua did not call the priests together and say, this is what God has commanded me to do, but what's your opinion about this matter? He didn't do that. There was no choice given to the priest. There was no deacon's meeting. There was no congregational vote to decide on how to proceed. The nation of Israel followed the leadership that God had placed over them. And while they marched, they were to blow those trumpets according to verse number 8. But notice in verse number 10, they weren't allowed to shout or they weren't allowed to talk until Joshua said so. I think some of us would be in trouble, amen, if you couldn't talk or couldn't shout as you march. I think about all those people marching around the city without talking and shouting, could possibly be a greater miracle than the walls falling flat down? I don't know. You just get a bunch of people, and particularly some men, they're not going to march around very long without speaking. And I'm not sure why God had asked them to be silent. Maybe it was to teach them to be quiet and just trust in the Lord. Maybe God wanted them to contemplate how much faith they had and what God was going to do. Exodus 14 and verse 4, the Bible says this: "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Psalms 46:10 says this: "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Verse number 11, we find that they circled the city once and then came back to the camp. Day two, the Bible says they rose up early, according to verse number 12, and they did the same thing as the first day. But then in verse 14, the Bible says, they did for 6 days. So we find them waiting for God's timing. The siege of Jericho, day 1 through 6, but notice the verses 15 through 21, we find the siege of Jericho on day 7. When you look at this and begin to think about this passage of Scripture, meditate upon these couple of chapters, we find in this passage of Scripture, there's no biblical record that Joshua told the whole plan to the nation of Israel. He may have or he might not have. They just marched in silence, waiting for the commander to shout. Can you imagine their impatience as they waited and as they marched? I mean, day one, they said, glory to God. Surely, day two, he's going to tell us to shout, and we're going to shout, and the walls are going to come down. Then on day three, they said, today's got to be the day. They're high-fiving as they get ready to march around, and guess what? Nothing. Day four, day five, and day six, no doubt by day five, they're saying, what in the world is this young general doing? I don't understand it. I don't know about this thing, but you know what? We're beginning to get just a little bit impatient. But notice what happened. As they began to march in verses 15 through 20. On the seventh day in verses 15 and 16, and the seventh time around Jericho, guess what? The priests blew their trumpets. And the seventh time around, on the seventh day, Joshua said, shout, for the Lord has given you this city. But then look in verses 17 through verse number 19, something that I have often overlooked. Not only did he shout and say that the Lord has given you this city, but notice what he says in verses 17 through 19, again reminding them, and the city shall be a curse, even it and all that remain therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, and she and all that were with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourself accursed and take of the accursed thing and make the camp Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the gold and silver and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So after he gave the shout, he said, now listen, on our text verse, listen, do not take anything. The only thing that's going to be taken alive is Rahab the harlot and all those that are in their house. Nothing else is going to should be taken by you. And the silver and the gold and the vessels, the brass and iron, are going to be put away for the treasury of the Lord. So then we find at verse number 20, we look carefully at the end of that verse and we see how the soldiers attacked the city. And notice what it said. And the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. So as we think about all that has just transpired, you're going to have to remember that God had already told Joshua that was going to happen in verse number 5. Again, reminding you and I and Joshua that God's promises once again come true. Listen, my friend, God's not like you and I, where we promise to do something and promise to say something, promise to give something, but it never happens. God's not that way. When God makes a promise, it will come to pass. But understand, it comes to pass in God's timing and not our own personal timing. So we see the siege of Jericho. And then notice, thirdly, God's timing is always perfect. You know, the Battle of Jericho is also mentioned in the book of Hebrews in that Hall of Faith chapter 11 and verse 30. The Bible says, by the faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, and after they were compassed about 7 days. Notice what it said, the walls fell. Notice these words, by faith. Faith in what? Faith in God's plan. Faith in God's timing. Look very carefully at verse number 10. They were not to make a sound until Joshua told them to do so. The nation of Israel didn't know whether it would be 2, 3, 5, 6, 50 days, 60 days, or 3 months. Joshua just told them, march around until the day I bid you to shout. Hebrews 12 and verse number 1 says this, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience, or in other words, endurance, the race that is set before us. James says something similar in James 1 verses 3 and 4. He says, knowing this, that the trying of our faith worketh patience, or in other words, endurance, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. You see, here's the point I'm trying to make. All of us at times want to run ahead of God. All of us at times in our own personal lives have run ahead of God. Just think for a moment. How'd that work out for you when you ran ahead of God? I don't know about you, but I cannot think of one time in my life that I ran ahead of God that it worked out the way that I thought it was going to work out. Now, oftentimes, God in his mercy and God in his grace still allows things to come to pass that he desires to do that. But it wasn't because I ran ahead of God. It was because God loves me and I brought to a point of repentance and he exhibited grace and mercy in my life. All of us want to run ahead of God. This is what we want to do. This is what the nation of Israel wanted to do. They thought that they'd march around Jericho on day one, and then Joshua would say, shout. You see, our problem is simply this. We're just like the nation of Israel. We want to shout on the first day, but sometimes God is not going to let us shout until the seventh day. God's timing is always perfect. Well, if we're going to navigate life's obstacles in 2021, we're going to have to, number one, believe in God's plan. Number two, we're going to have to wait on God's timing. But notice, lastly, we're going to have to trust in God's mercy. In verses 22 through verse number 25, notice the faith of Rahab. In chapter 2, in verse number 1, tells us about this woman by the name of Rahab, who the Bible said was a prostitute or a harlot in the city of Jericho. Remember what she did? She hid Joshua's 2 spies on the rooftop. The Bible says she hid them among the stalks of flax. And even though Rahab was not a Hebrew, she still had great faith in the Lord. In chapter 2 and verse 11, Rahab said, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and the earth beneath. So we find then they swore an oath to Rahab saying, our lives for yours. So she let the spies out of a window and used a scarlet rope, which you know as well as I is a picture of the scarlet thread of redemption of Jesus Christ shed blood for you and I. And it was used to identify her house. Well, we have the faith of Rahab, but then notice the rescue of Rahab. Back in chapter 2 and verse number 15, it says, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon that wall. Evidently, when the wall fell flat down, her house was spared. I don't know what happened. I wasn't there. We can just speculate, but understand this, that the Israelites made good on the promises of the 2 spies in verses 22 and verse number 23. I'm reminded of Hebrews 11:31 that says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. So we have the faith of Rahab, We have the rescue of Ahab, but then notice the legacy of Rahab. And at the time of the writing of the book of Joshua, it said of Rahab, she dwells with Israel to this day. And then I think about the genealogy in Matthew chapter 1. It tells us that eventually she had a son by the name of Boaz. And you can read about Boaz in the book of Ruth. And we find that Rahab, in God's mercy, became the great, great, great grandmother of King David. And the great-grandmother, 26 times removed, of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I cannot think of a finer legacy than to be that. So as we close this morning, we don't know what this year is going to hold. We don't know what the year 2021 will bring us, but we can be assured of this one thing. There's one way for us to navigate our new year when obstacles have been placed in our path. Number one, we believe in God's plan. That's what Joshua did. Number two, we wait on God's timing. That's what Israel did. And number three, we can trust in God's mercy. And that's what Rahab did. May God help us to navigate our obstacles in 2021 as we follow His principles for navigating our new year. Let's pray.